So let's take our Bibles. We'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I'm going to ask that if you'd pray for us. My wife and I are going to be heading out on Tuesday, and we are going to head down to Phoenix for a week. We had taken out an atlas a while back and just closed our eyes and pointed somewhere close to the equator is where we wanted to go. And so we ended up coming up with Phoenix, and so we're looking forward to going, and so we certainly would appreciate your prayers. We'll be gone. We'll leave on Tuesday and be gone for a week. But on a more serious note, be praying for the Petersons. I'm no doubt they were brought up in Sunday school, Brother Stan and Kate. Their son Alex had an accident on the slopes skiing, and he broke his neck, and so be praying for them. They had surgery, and he said the surgery has gone well. There was a lot of swelling. He hasn't lost the feeling in his extremities, so that's good. There's a lot of numbness, though, but there's a lot of swelling going on. So far, so good with that, with the surgery. They left about 6 in the morning. We know we take that trip all the time, so they're still en route, so keep them in prayer as you think about them. For the Petersons, and they'll be down there for a while, you know, for several days to see how that situation plays out. So pray for Alex and his family. All right, 2 Chronicles. All right, let me get myself there. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to take a look at a king here who's a good king. This was King Asa. King Asa was, he was the great grandson of Solomon, so then he was the great-great-grandson of King David. He was the 6th king of Judah. You know, you had Saul, and then you had David, and then you had Solomon, and then Solomon's son Rehoboam, and Solomon failed. You know, Solomon didn't do right. He turned back to the Lord in his later life, but because of his failures and not following the Lord, the kingdom got divided under his son Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the kingdom split. 10 tribes went to Israel. The other 2 tribes were Judah. And so Rehoboam was the king of Judah. Then his son was Abijah. Then you have King Asa. So he's the 6th king, and he's the king of Judah. Good king. Good king. And what we're going to talk about here, the title of my message is staying on track with God. Staying on track with God. Now, I'm going to be speaking, obviously, to God's people. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to see you get on track with salvation. We want to see you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So we're going to talk here about staying on track with God. And so we're going to read here in chapter 14 about Asa. And we're going to see, as I mentioned, that he's a good man. And let's take a look here, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll continue to read on all the way through 6. It says, so Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of his God. And so he was faithful to do some good things. And God recognizes that in his word, that he was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. God was his God. And he took some bold steps as a king. He was faithful to go out and take action and do the right things. And that's what you want to see in leadership, amen, that they would be righteous and godly. And he certainly took those steps. It says here in verses 3 through 6, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. All those false idols, he broke them down as much as he could and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. So with that, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. Thank you for your mercies and your kindnesses to us. Thank you that we can call you Father. That's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come boldly unto your throne. Your word says that we have access and that we can come to you with confidence and with boldness. And we know it's only because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by that precious blood. And so we thank you this morning, Lord, for those of us that know Christ. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord, that we can say that we're children of God. We've been born again. And what a wonderful thing. We thank you for that precious blood. And we do pray for anybody here today that may be without Christ. We pray for them. We want to see them get saved. We pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in their hearts, that he would bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we pray that you'd bless. We're looking at King Asa. We pray that you'd help us to learn some things from his life. And we pray that you'd bless this time. Thank you for the time we've had so far of singing and of rejoicing and of the fellowship that we've had. And we pray that in everything that we want the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. And I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work in our midst. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So he took some bold steps as a king, and it's good to see that. He took away a lot of the bad things that we just read about all the way through verse 6, while at the same time he reinstilled an adherence to the law and to the commandments of God. He wanted the people to get back to God because they'd gotten away. And because of his reign, God blessed his reign. He gave him 10 years of rest. That's right there at the end of verse 1, that there was 10 years of quiet. God truly had blessed him. He was not unlike a lot of good kings. There were a lot of good kings. You'd have to really look to find anybody in the kingdom of Israel. Any of those kings, boy, they were just so far from God. And for the most part, they didn't know God. But there were many, many kings of Judah that were faithful, that served the Lord, that loved him, that wanted to see godliness established in their kingdom, in God's kingdom. There was men like Josiah, men like Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, and some others, men that actively did good and they did right in the sight of God. They actively tore down and destroyed idols, and while at the same time seeking to exalt the Lord Jehovah before the nation. And then you take a look here with King Asa and something that takes place in his during his reign. He is threatened by an Ethiopian army, so he's threatened with war. And you take a look here, verses 7, we'll just go from verse 7, and it says here, "Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. So the kingdom was being built up and was being blessed by God. And then it says here, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." This is 580,000 troops, 580,000 soldiers. That's a big, that's a large amount of soldiers, 580,000. But it says here in verse 9, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. You know how many that is? 1,000,000 is a million. All right? 1,000,000 is a million. "And 300 chariots, and they came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him." It says, "Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God." He cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." It's always good to call on the Lord when we're going through trials. It's always good to just come before the Lord when we're not going through trials. And when we're being prospered and when things are going well, let's make sure that we go before the throne of God and thank him and praise him for what he's doing in our life. Let's not be reactive. Let's learn to be more proactive and thanking the Lord for all he's done. But, you know, when those tough times call or those tough times come our way, then it's not good for the Lord to hear our voice and go, I don't recognize that voice. It's not good for us just to call on the Lord when things are only going bad. The Lord ought to hear from us when things are going well, as I just mentioned. But now when things are going bad, then it's good. We've already have this wonderful relationship with the Lord, and we call upon the Lord as we go through trials. And that's what Asa has done. And so it says here in verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So we see that the Lord took care of this issue. We see that the Lord took care of him because Asa, King Asa, he's off to a good start and he has learned to trust the Lord and to walk with him. God blessed him with those 10 years of peace and quiet in the land. And then he is confronted with this threat against him from this approaching and invading army. And what he does is the right thing. He goes immediately to the Lord and cries out unto God. And God blesses that and honors him for that. He'll do the same for us, folks, as we learn how to trust him. Then we see, as we get now into chapter 15, we see that approximately 5 years goes by. And then you see that at the end of verse 10. So this story of King Asa here in 2 Chronicles, you see it in chapters 14, 15, and 16. And you also see it in 1 Kings, I believe it's chapter 15. It's a little bit of a shortened, more condensed version, so you get to see more here in this book here in 2 Chronicles. So now the Lord is going to send a prophet. This 5 years have passed by, and he has now been on his throne for 15 years. And it says here in verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. All right, so something tells me here, and it's not hard to read between the lines, that you cannot help but think that Asa has had a little bit of a slipping away from the things of the Lord. There's, to some degree, that has happened. You know, when we just don't stick to something, then it begins to slowly, our grip on it begins to loosen. And that is so true with the relationship that we have with the Lord. We need to be dutiful about it, mindful about it, that we walk with the Lord, and we determine to seek his face on a regular basis. Because, folks, if we don't do that, it'll begin to get away from us. We'll begin to find ourselves in a drift and getting away from the things of God. There's no doubt that that's what took place here. So these 5 years have gone by, and the Lord, Azariah comes, and he's bringing this message to Asa about, keep your heart right, Asa. Keep your heart right with the Lord. That's why it's important for us to do that in our own lives, but it's also important for us to do that in the lives of those that we're responsible for. For parents with your children, now be careful how you do that. You know, we don't want to be in the face. There's a way of doing it, and it's always good to look to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to challenge my children, but I don't want to be in their face about it. You know, there's a right way to do things. Encourage your children. Encourage your children to be in their Bibles at young ages. Encourage your children to memorize the Word of God. Encourage your children to establish a relationship with the Lord. Hopefully they first come to know Christ as their Savior, and then to begin to build on that relationship on a day-to-day basis. Amen? We know how fundamental that is. It's important for us to learn that we would walk with him. So now we get back to this message that Azariah brings before King Asa. So we just read a couple verses into it, and let's see, verse 3. Now for a long season, well, let me read 2 again. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And then it says, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. I think we're referring to, well, you know, the book of Judges. That's characteristic of what was taking place in the book of Judges. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. That's what took place over and over in the book of Judges. God would raise up a deliverer after God's people would get away and they would turn to idols and they would get away from God. God would raise up individuals that would deliver the nation of Israel. And it says here in verse 5, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all of the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. So Azariah is saying this to King Asa. Listen, the Lord, he blessed his people. He blessed our people back in the day when they turned unto him. And he vexed nations for their sake because they trusted in him. And so that's the message he's giving to King Asa. And then verse 7, he says, be ye strong therefore, O king. King Asa, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God will reward you. It's like King Asa needed a shot in the arm. He needed some exhortation, even some admonition to do what's right. There's been a little bit of a slide here, King Asa. Now, he didn't say that exactly, but we can read between the lines. Come on, King Asa, keep your eyes on the Lord. The Lord's going to use you. So Asa takes courage with this message, and he immediately acts upon it, which is good. He's responsive to it. He gathers Israel together, and they're going to offer unto the Lord a great sacrifice. You see verses 8 through 10. I'll read through that, and it says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And then verses 10 and 11, it says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. So they commit themselves back to the Lord. Asa spearheads this as he takes that exhortation and he follows through with it. Let me just ask this question. How do you and I fare when we hear preaching that maybe goes counter to where we've been? Maybe we have not been doing the right things, and we hear something, and the Spirit of God just kind of puts his finger right on our chest and says, what are you going to do about it? How do we respond? Do we respond with humility? You're right, Lord. Forgive me. Help me. I need to do what's right. I've got my priorities all out of whack. You used to be number one priority, and now I've got you down somewhere 4, 5, or 6. God, help me. Help me to put you first. Help me to rearrange my life. Or do we sometimes buck against the Spirit of God when he speaks to our hearts? Oh, well, you know I'm busy, Lord, and we push off the Spirit of God. You know the Lord, if we know him, he loves us. He's never going to leave us. God says he'll never leave or forsake us, but we can grieve the Holy Spirit to where we kind of push him off into the corner of the room. And the Spirit of God says, I've been working on you, but you're not listening. You go ahead and go your route for a while and see what that'll bring you. I think some of us can shake our heads and nod and go, yes, I've been down that road. It's not a good place to be. It's always good just to submit to the Lord and to acknowledge him and just to simply do the right thing that he calls us to do. So then they make this covenant with God, and to stay faithful unto him. In verses 12 through 15, it says, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And it says here in I'll just jump to verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, at this covenant that they made, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. The Lord heard them. He saw the sincerity of their heart, and the Lord gave them rest round about. He even went so far, as we'll read in this next verse, that he even removed his mother from being the queen because of an idol she had made. Now, that took guts, all right? That took guts to, you know, hey, Mom, I've got some news for you here. Because verse 16 says exactly that. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Yeah, there was a little bit of a, you know, a little conflict between son and mom there for a while. But he did the right thing. He said, Mom, that's wrong. And he stood up for what was right. Sometimes standing up for what's right may cost us. Yeah, right?
Yep.
It may create a wedge in a relationship. Listen, we're not trying to create problems, but folks, we're to stand up for what God tells us to stand up for. May we do it with grace. We don't have to be ugly about something. Sometimes, you know, you're around family. They don't maybe all know Christ. Maybe they've gone a different direction. God wants us to show Christ unto them, certainly. But we don't have to condone something that the Lord would not want us to condone. Amen? We have to stand for what's right. And you can do it in a Christ-like manner. And I would say, yeah, you know, listen, you know, I love you all. I'm speaking to maybe some that don't, you know. I'm giving you this hypothetical here. You sometimes have to say to somebody, listen, I love you. You know I love you. But, you know, I have Christ in my heart. And the Lord wouldn't want me to do that. And I hope you'll understand that. I'm not here to condemn you, but I want to do what's right. Hopefully they'll respect that. It may create a wedge. It may create a problem, but it's better to do. We ought to obey God rather than men. Remember, like Peter said, we need to do the right thing. And I admire King Asa because he did the right thing. Now, from chapter 15 to chapter 16, a good 20 years goes by. Probably more accurately, 21 years goes by. So now we take this leap 21 years ahead. And I never really did find out how old King Asa was when he took the throne. Many times we're told that, but I don't think it's in here what age he was when he took the throne. But 21 years later passes by, and it's a time of peace. But now the king of Israel, all right, fellow Jews, the other kingdom, and there's conflict between each other. And King Baasha, he's not a good man. He's the king of Israel. He comes to threaten Judah. He comes to threaten Judah, and he's going to set up in the city of Ramah a fortress or a garrison, because they want to take down, all right? They want to take down Judah and King Asa. And so this is where, unfortunately, things begin to unravel for King Asa. After his response to that prophet, after he turned to the Lord when the Ethiopian army came against him, he does an about face here, and he puts his trust in his money and in the nation of Syria. And it says here in chapter 16, because these 21 years have gone by, and he was now unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa, as it says in the last verse of chapter 15. And it says here in verse 1 of chapter 16, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and he sent to Ben-Hadad, all right, that's the king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league, because I know you have a league or a treaty with the king of Israel. That's Baasha. And he says, break that league, break that treaty, break that truce that you have between them with all of this gold and silver that I'm giving you with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Because I see that he's setting up these garrisons and these fortresses, and he's looking to attack down the road. And it just created fear in him. Something had happened in those 21 years with King Asa. And then it says here in verse 4, and Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. This is what the Syrian army did to the kingdom of Israel. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. So the Syrians were victorious. They were prosperous in what they were hired to do by King Asa. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof. That's where they were building. They were building all those garrisons and fortresses, and they took them all down. And he says, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So now he has turned his trust away from the Lord, and he has turned his trust to the king of Syria, and he makes this deal, as we just read, with the king of Syria. I know you have a truce between you and the king of Israel. Baasha, break that, and I'll pay you. And then their army did their thing, and Baasha left. And I'm sure Asa looked at that. Yes, we accomplished our goal, and that enemy, Baasha, is gone now. However, God sends another prophet. He sends another prophet now, 21 years later. This is Hanani. And he is going to rebuke Asa for putting his trust in men and not in God. And it says here in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 16, and at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. You had an opportunity there with the king of Syria to apprehend him because they're an enemy. And here you are, rubbing shoulders with him. And he goes on to say, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Don't you remember back in the day, King Asa, when you trusted the Lord, when that huge Ethiopian army came with 1 million soldiers and you trusted God? Don't you remember what he did for you? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Let me just say, that is a great verse right there, folks. I have loved that verse. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them who will put their trust in him. That's a good verse for you and I to adopt and to hide into our hearts. Just knowing that as we look unto the Lord, his word says that the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, looking for somebody that'll put his trust in him. Do you put your trust in him today? Do you seek God? Do I seek the Lord when we're going through some times? Or do we begin to revert to some human ways? Do we revert to, well, I can get out of this with my bank account. I can pay this off. I can get out of this straight that I'm in because I have some people that I know in certain places. Aren't we tempted to do that? Yeah. And how many times have we done it? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but we've all done it in some form or some fashion. We've looked unto something else rather than to trust the Lord. Maybe in our early days, we learned just as a little child in Christ how to just simply trust God and just to ask God for his help. Oh, Lord, would you help me? And then sometimes we just get a little bit too far ahead of God. We get a little bit too big for our britches, don't we? And we get to a place where we think we can start calling the shots. You know, I've known the Lord for all these years, and that's the way we've always done it. So, you know, and we would never say this, but, you know, why pray about it? I already know what God would have us to do. Oh, really? Do we really know that? We don't really know that. I was talking to Brother Sherman, and we were looking at, oh, I think it was in 2 Kings chapter 5 when David was battling the Philistines and he went to war against the Philistines in a particular manner. God had directed him a certain way to fight against the Philistines, and he He took them down and defeated them. And then shortly after, I don't know if it was the next couple of days, there was another wave, another battle with the Philistines. They had come back again. And David could have just gone straight out like he did a few days before, or whatever it was, a week or two before, whatever it was. He could have done the same thing, but he stopped and he prayed. And he said, "Lord, there's the Philistines again. What would you have me to do?" And the Lord's plan of attack was different this time. He said, "When you hear a going and the sound of the mulberry trees, then I'm going to have you attack them." It was different. But David had learned how to pray the second time. And God said, "No, it's a different plan of attack, but just wait upon me." Sometimes we think we've got this down. Can I get an amen or two? Because it is true. We just think, well, we've done this before. Sometimes that happens, folks, over time. We just begin to think that we've figured this thing out. And so here in verse 9, he says, "From now on, thou shalt have wars." There at the end of verse 9, "Then Asa was wroth." Here, look at this, is a different response now from Asa from what he was before. "Then Asa was wroth with the seer." And that seer is another name for a prophet. "Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people the same time." Well, from that point on, things just began to spiral downward for King Asa. You could see something had happened in his heart. He had received the preaching from Azariah 21 years before, when God spoke to him and had that preacher preach to him. Asa responded, and he did the right thing. But 21 years later, something had changed. And when Hanani comes and preaches that message to him, he has him imprisoned. He's in a rage. "What are you talking about? You're crazy. Have this man imprisoned. I don't need to hear this foolishness, all of this malarkey. Just put him in prison." He's a different man now. Sometimes that happens with us, folks. Our whole spirit can change because we get away from the Lord. The Lord is working in us as we yield to him, and we become more like the Lord as God works in us. But as we become indignant and we dig in our heels and we decide we're going to go this way or that way rather than God's way, you and I will find out that we're not going to quite be the same person. That old nature comes out, and it comes out and it rears its ugly head, and it's an ugly thing, and we're no longer the same. I've seen, I know it personally, just in the workings in my own heart, that old nature, it's just not a good sight when the old nature shows up, right? But I've also known it with some brethren, some brothers or sisters in Christ that lived for the Lord, and then they got away, and then they went a whole different route, and then ultimately they came back, but praise the Lord, they came back, but they said, "Oh man, I went down a road that was not good. And I was no longer myself." You just think about the prodigal son, or you think about what God did to Nebuchadnezzar, turned him into a beast. Sometimes God will do some things to humble us. So let's be careful that we don't think that we can go down that road, because it's so easy to do that. Now, Asa now begins to just really spiral downward. In verses 11 through 13, it says, "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord." With the problems that he had with his feet, God allowed a disease in his feet. He wouldn't turn to the Lord, but to the physicians. He was now this way. He used to be that way. Now he was this way. All of his answers were all horizontal. Somebody else can help me. He was not looking to the Lord anymore. "And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign." I've always said that this man lived 6 years too long. He lived 6 years too long in his reign. Now, I've read all of this, and we've come to the end of his story for this particular lesson. And that is that somewhere in Asa's life, between chapters 15 and 16, somewhere in his life, something caused him to lose what he had in chapters 14 and 15 to what he became in chapter 16. Did you follow that? Something happened. There's no doubt. I don't know what it was exactly, but I think I can make a good guess. And by the way, again, that same thing that happened in Asa's life is something, listen, folks, that can happen in our life, as I've already said already. And because it's a slow process, maybe it's already starting to happen. Boy, God forbid that that should take place. But the first thing I think happened with him, and I'm going to bring up three quick points, so these are quick. I brought up all of that to just bring you three quick points. I think the first thing that took place, and speaking along spiritual lines now, is that he let spiritual things get old. He let spiritual things get old between him and God. It all falls under that category of being neglectful. And I've mentioned that. I've already alluded to that. We know that when we begin to become neglectful, bad things begin to happen. You know that as well as I do. Listen, some things get old, and you can't help it, right? We get old. You know, I don't like getting old. There's just some things you can't help. You know you're getting old, right? You know you're getting old when you get in a rocking chair and you can't make it go, okay? So that's just a little bit of a little indicator of, yeah, we're getting old. You can't help that. But not everything has to get old, folks. Right. Not everything has to get old. Relationships that we have with people ought to be renewed every day. They ought to be bathed in prayer, that God would bless them. You know, and a relationship that we have with our spouse, with our children, with extended family, brothers and sisters in Christ, which is family, amen? It ought to be fresh. It shouldn't get old. And things, having a vision, folks, that should be something that is ongoing, and it ought to be fresh in our hearts. We should never lose. What does it say in Proverbs 29:18 that without a vision, people perish? You know, and that vision refers to the Word of God and God revealing Himself, but it also just goes to, if you don't have some kind of vision, you perish. You just start dying on the vine. You ought to have something that you look forward to. Amen? Yep. Boy, let me prompt you to do that. Don't just become, you know, Mr. Drudgery or Debbie Downer or whatever names you want to throw out there. Right? We don't want to become that. We ought to have God just, Lord, help me. I want to be fresh all the time. Yeah, this outward body is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's some things, folks, that don't have to get old. How is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, is it new? Can you say inside your heart? Because we would like to respond if we have to respond outwardly. Oh, it's great. But is it? Do you say in your heart, Lord, yes, it can always be better, but it is sweet. This morning, can you say, I had some sweet fellowship with the Lord before I got to church. And we talked. I read His Word. And I spoke to Him. I know He spoke to my heart. I didn't hear anything with this audible, with this ear, this physical ear. But He speaks to my heart through His Word. And it's just blessed, isn't it? Boy, is that where you're at today? I hope so. I hope that that's where I'm at. That's what the Apostle John wrote to the Christians in his epistle when he said this in 1 John chapter 1 in verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. You know, John wrote that, and he was excited. You know, he's ecstatic. Oh, you know, it says about John that he was the one that leaned on the Lord Jesus' breast. Remember the disciple that Jesus loved? I think that was referring to John. John just had this special relationship with the Lord. And he says, boy, it is just wonderful to have this relationship with somebody I've never seen, but He lives in my heart, in the person of the Holy Spirit. But I have Christ in me, in my heart, and I get to fellowship with Him. and I get to talk with him, and there's just no greater joy. And that's exactly what John is saying there in his epistle. Do you know how your joy will be full? Do you know how your joy? Just spend some time with the Lord each day. Spend time with him. Time of praising him. Boy, make sure, you know, listen, we all have a crabby, grumpy monster inside of us, right? And the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, and yet that old nature's got a lot of that. And I've got plenty in my heart. I can just murmur with the best of them. But it's good to just put that to the side and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to go that route. I want to praise you. We ought to be Christians that are, you know, where the glass is half full and not half empty. You know, I mean, there are some people you can give them $1 million, and if you give it to them in a brown paper bag, they would just complain, yeah, he gave me $1 million, but did you see what he gave it to me in? Brown paper bag. I can't believe it. I'd be thankful for $1 million. We can always find the seamy side of life. We can always find the problems in every situation, but may we just say, Lord, help me. I'm wired that way. Help me to see the good. Help me to see all the blessings, because if we look to the Lord to do that, he'll open those up, and we'll see them. And what a blessing it'll be. So may we learn to just praise him every day and worship and talk to the Lord and laugh with the Lord. I don't ever want to say, don't ever be irreverent of the Lord. He's God. He's the one that created all things. He created us. There ought to be a fear of God in our hearts. But he also says he's our friend. That's amazing. God says, I'm your friend as well. And I'm the one that you can just open up all of your intimate details, whatever it is. He already knows it all anyway. And when we can just open up to him, and then times when we're just so blessed and just laugh with the Lord. Just laugh. I remember C.H. Spurgeon was with another friend, and they were walking along, and then they just started to laugh through their fellowship. And he said, blessed be holy laughter. You know, just laughing about the things that God's done for us. So that just prompts a laugh. I think that's pleasing unto the Lord. And I think it's good for us just to spend time with the Lord. Ask God to make that Bible new each day. Lord, make it new. Let me see something new. Listen, us guys, we have things that we really like a lot, and we pay attention to a lot. Hopefully the top of the list would be our wives, right? But sometimes we have our own little things that we like. I mean, guys like custom cars, right? Muscle cars. And man, I've seen guys put a lot of work in some muscle cars. Nothing wrong with that. I guess as long as it's in the right priority. But man, you talk about dolled up. We went to, Car de Lane last year. And man, you know, I'm not so much a car guy. I've got my own idols. I already know what they are, right? Anything that has a ball and a racket or a bat or something, that can be an idol for me, okay? Cars, not so much. But just going around and these guys are talking about their cars, and I'm looking at my wife like, cars. As long as it can get me to point from point A to point B. Some of you are really frowning at me right now, right? Some of you, yeah, hey, listen. There's some things that we really like, right? Let me just say this, that, listen, don't let it get old. Don't let your spiritual life get mechanical. Don't let it get blasé. You know what blasé is? Yeah, don't let it get blasé. And then the second thing was his love for God began to deteriorate. There's no doubt. I can make that statement because you could see it happening. His love for God began to deteriorate. And if we're not careful, our love for Christ can as well. It can begin to fritter away. It can begin to just decay and deteriorate right before our eyes. The church at Ephesus, it said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 that the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Your first love was for me, and now I'm no longer your first love. And so the Lord would say that to any one of us. I have somewhat against you because you used to love me. You used to bring everything to my throne. And we would discuss those things. And now I don't hear from you as much. Boy, might we listen to that and respond to that. Way back, probably I'm thinking, 25, maybe close to 30 years ago, my wife and I, we went on the last night of junior camp. We had it probably up in the McCall area. It was probably in Donnelly or Cascade, or might have even been in McCall. And we went the last night of junior camp, and two of our kids were in that camp, our oldest daughter and our oldest son. And we went that night. You know, parents could kind of sneak in at the end of the night and just see, and they were having a bonfire. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, a bonfire. And they're all around at the end of the night, and the preaching had already happened, all the activities, the kids were worn out. But it was a time when the leaders would just ask the kids, is there some testimonies? And you would hear these kids, these elementary age, junior age kids talking about what God did. And some of them saying, I got saved this week. I trusted Jesus. And then you heard some others, God spoke to me about some things in my life that I need to be a better witness. I need to give out some tracts, and you're listening to all of this. And what a blessing, you're hearing it from these kids, one after the other. God just speaking to my heart. I know he spoke to my wife's heart. Just what a blessing. And then a brother that we know, Brother Tim Nace, I remember him. Brother Tim Nace would just, in between all of that, and it wasn't coordinated with those testimonies, but he would continually bring logs over and throw them into the fire. And you would just look at that fire, and that fire would just all of a sudden start to surge. And it coincided what was going on with those testimonies. That fire in our hearts for the Lord will happen as we feed it. Yeah. Folks, we're to stoke that fire. Right. And you know that if you and I will just take a little time and just get before the Lord and just go back over your salvation. You know, we're going to hear some testimonies tonight. But you go back about what the Lord did in your heart, and you replay it, and there it is vividly in your mind. And you know what? Your heart will just be inflamed again in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You just think about what he's done for you, and I think about what he's done for me, and it'll stir your heart. That was kind of a muted response there. But it will. That's why, folks, it's so important for us to be renewed daily, because the natural tendency is for things to get old, all right? And they get old, they get stale. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I have no doubt but that Asa had let his spiritual walk grow old, and his love for God had deteriorated to the point where it just waxed thin. It made such a difference in his life. He was no longer recognizable to the younger King Asa. He had changed. And then lastly, this last point, something that very likely caused Asa's fall also, was that maybe he had been dwelling on all of his past accomplishments. Maybe that was part of it. It doesn't say so, but I think it's very possible that he dwelt on his past victories and accomplishments. He was what you would call resting on his laurels. Yeah, you know that phrase. He was resting on some of those past victories. But isn't that like us, folks? We have this part of us that wants to rest on some past accomplishment. Sometimes we like to drudge those up, something that we did, maybe some money we gave to charity. And then when that charity agency comes around again, it's like, I already gave $5 20 years ago. What do you want? You trying to bleed me dry here? I mean, sometimes we think that one and done, you know. Unfortunately, that's part of that old nature itself. I've talked to many a Christian who used to do this for the Lord and that for the Lord and who are no longer busy. They're no longer busy. They've done plenty. It's just time to rest now. Is it really time to rest? I really believe that you're here today. You don't believe that. But maybe if there's a little bit of that in your thinking, boy, dash it to pieces. Don't let that be there. No, it's not a time to rest. We're to just keep going on for the Lord. He's coming back soon. And will he find us faithful? I like what the Apostle Paul says in response to that in Philippians 3:14, when he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Listen, I'm putting those things that could cause me to stumble behind me, and I'm just focusing on what's ahead of me. I'm focusing on the things of the Lord. That's what Paul said. And might we follow his advice? Brethren, let us fight against becoming satisfied. Make sure to always keep striving toward new goals. Ask God to put a new vision in your heart for him. George Truett was a great preacher in the Dallas-Fort Worth area way back in the earlier part of the 1900s. And he pastored in that church for a long, long time. And I love reading some of his sermons, and I love reading about him. He once said regarding the perils of losing your vision during the later years of life. He says, young men dream dreams like Joseph dreamed. Little children dream dreams. The little boy says, "Wait until I'm a man and I will do so and so." But after we become men and women, he says, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the last part of what he said, but he says, we get busy and we lose sight of those dreams, those visions. We get caught up in life and we get caught up in our schedules and we've lost whatever vision we might have had when we were young. You know, I ask the Lord to help me all the time, not to get complacent, because I've been guilty of that. Have you ever been guilty of being complacent? Some of you would say, yes, if I knew what complacent meant. We get lazy, right? We can get kind of just contented with where we're at and what we're doing. And I ask the Lord, help me, Lord. I don't want to be there. You have some things I know that are ahead. Help me, Lord. Help me. Give me some vision. I don't mean some weird, fantastical things that we see. No, I'm talking about a vision, something that God puts in our heart, something that we can't see physically, but he's laid some things on our heart. I've gone out on this property many times. I know this is near and dear to your heart, Brother Jason Jones, but I know I've gone out many times and walked the perimeter of this property, and I've looked, and I've just stood there by the sheds and looked and just envisioned buildings or whatever, a field for our kids to play, a gymnasium, amen, right, amen, or some a big auditorium, or whatever. I just, Lord, if that's what you want, I don't want it to be my vision, but I look at it and say, Lord, I don't believe that you gave us those 5 acres to continuously be weeds and dirt. I don't believe it. Amen. I believe God's given us that for something. He doesn't just do things for filler. He doesn't just waste his time. He does it for a purpose. And I believe there's a purpose for that. That's all I'm saying. And I don't even know exactly what it is. I just know, Lord, you've got something in mind. And the Lord's doing something. And may we have that vision. King Asa was a good man. But somewhere in those middle years, he lost what he once had. He was unable to say, I've finished my course. He couldn't say, I finished strong. So where does that leave you and I? Because we're all going to have to answer to the Lord. And I'll just take a break here for just a moment, because for those of us that know Christ, we'll have to answer to the Lord. But if you're here today, and I referred to it earlier, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing is to turn your life over to Christ. He died on a cross for you. The Bible says we're all sinners. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says if we'll recognize that and admit that and confess it to the Lord, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I can't do anything about my life. The Bible says that Christ died on the cross, but God commendeth his love toward you, and that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. If you're willing to believe that, listen, the Bible says your sin is just going to, the wages of your sin is death in Romans chapter 6, at the last verse in verse 23 of that chapter. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord wants to give you everlasting life. That's why he died on a cross for you. He lived a sinless life, was buried, rose again. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the grave, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll be saved if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. God's given you enough faith to use that faith to trust Christ, so that when you believe on him, when you confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll believe unto righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And that great verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today. If you're without Christ, I want to beseech you, I want to urge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But in winding this up, what about you and I that do know the Lord? Are we by chance allowing spiritual things to get old? Are they just getting old and we're heading down a trail that sometimes we don't even realize we're heading down? Is our love for God beginning to deteriorate? It's just not as vibrant as it once was. Is that where we're at? Does that describe us? Are we someone that just wants to dwell on all the past accomplishments? Oh, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be a deacon. I used to do all that. Well, what are you doing now? Man, if you're able, you say, well, I can't do so much. You can pray.
Right.
Man, you could be a prayer warrior. You know, right now, our country needs a lot of people praying. We all need to be praying, but I've heard of many people that, man, they were debilitated. They were disabled. They couldn't do a whole lot. They said, well, I can't do a whole lot. I'll pray. I think you've picked the best thing if you pray. I'm going to spend more time in prayer because I can't do so much anymore. I'll pray. And God will bless that. And he'll honor it. Folks, how do we stay on track with the Lord? Well, we just got to keep our eyes on him. Because this sinister old nature of ours, it's sneaky. The heart is deceitful above all things, right? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it'll just trick us and get us going some way, and we don't even realize it. Let's just keep our hearts on the Lord. Stay in that book. And just let God direct and guide us. And keep things fresh. Amen? So that we can say, yeah, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith when we stand before the Lord one day. Would you bow your heads with me? With your heads bowed, and we've got Vicky's coming to play the piano. Brother Ray's going to lead us in a hymn in just a moment. Maybe God's spoken to your heart as a Christian about this very thing. Maybe things have gone well like King Asa did for many, many years, but then there was a slide, and he never recovered from that slide. That was sad, but that can happen to any one of us. God's spoken to your heart, and I just want to encourage you. Maybe you need to come to the altar, talk to the Lord, or right there at your seat. You can do that as well. Just do whatever God leads you to do. Now, if you're here without Christ, then I want to encourage you to trust Christ as your Savior. I would hope that you'd step out in the aisle and come up to the front. We can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. That's a great, great thing, to know that you're saved and that your sins are forgiven and that you have everlasting life and you'll live with the Lord forever and ever. Now let's pray. Father, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies, your kindness. Help us. Help us, Lord. We realize this can certainly happen to us. King Asa was off to a great start, and he listened to the word of God initially, but then at some point, he'd gotten away so far. Lord, help us to realize, yeah, we're in church, and we think, oh, I'm not vulnerable here. No, help us to realize, Lord, we're all vulnerable. Help us. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, we pray that as you speak to our hearts, that we'll respond to you. And if there's somebody here without Christ, we pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.